Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Battlecast. This is our first episode. Today, I have Logan Meyer with me co-hosting. I am Colton Peterson.
And we have our silent guardian with us, who is going to chip in if they want to.
If needed, we'll have her chip in. She may be coming in with any questions that someone that's new to the comic book community or any of this type of stuff may have questions for. Bring anything to light that we may not think of since we were kind of raised in this. Today we'll be going over three different sets. The first one is going to be Bullseye and Cyclops duking it out. The second set is going to be General Shock T from the Clone Wars and the Dark Horse comic series with Star Wars against Cad Bane, who was introduced also in the Clone Wars as being one of the coolest bounty hunters, in my opinion, to the face of mankind. And to top it off... Oh, Logan's got something to say here.
We got one more battle for the end. We're gonna have a battle at the end of each episode that's kind of more of a fun battle, and we're going to ask you guys for feedback on who you think would win.
Yes, so we'll have an email address set up on the website and on our blog to let you guys know exactly how you can get in contact with us, and then we will try to take the information you give us or your ideas, and we will be putting those at the end of the show. This segment in particular is going to be a lot of fun. As Logan here decided it to be, it's going to be kind of a comedy segment. We're going to come up with... Logan, go ahead and tell us about what it's going to be more about, so that they can give us some ideas.
It's going to be more of a funny battle between any, like, video game, comic book, or, like, even movie characters that you want. It's going to...
General badass characters.
Yeah.
We want to make it crazy. Funny for people to hear your idea and spitball ideas on how it would go over. Just something crazy to think about.
And you guys can also give us ideas for the main battles, too, if you want to. Anything that you've ever thought, man, I wonder what it would be like if Black Panther and Daredevil tried to kill each other. While they were on crystal meth. That would be one of the funny ones. But if you want to give us ideas for a serious one,
Any one of the serious ones. Doesn't matter what universe it is, crossing over will make anything interesting.
Yep, we'll try.
It doesn't matter if you got an army of predators versus one man. We'll try it.
We will try. All right, so the first battle we got for you guys today is going to be Bullseye from the Thunderbolts and just a Daredevil villain against Cyclops from the X-Men. These two are going to meet in a random encounter in a bank. Bullseye was hired to acquire an item from a safety deposit box. The bank is filled with people, innocent people, so he's going to be able to use that to his advantage. When he gets in there, he's going to barricade the entrance so no one can go in or out. Magic from the X-Men, Colossus's teleporting demonic little sister, is going to teleport Cyclops inside, and then she's going to leave because she has more pressing business, I guess, and because this is a comic book battle and it doesn't matter.
And she's a prissy little bitch that wants nothing more than to like make people tormented by evil demons.
She just wants to make everyone's life miserable, so she's going to leave Cyclops in there with a psychopath. She's going to leave
Cyclops to his own devices.
Alright, so, Cyclops. He's the leader of the X-Men. He was first in a comic book in 1963 in X-Men number 1. His main power is the Optic Blast. You guys all know what that is. He shoots what appear to be laser beams out of his eyes. They're not laser beams, they're a concussive force. They've been cited as being powerful enough to destroy a small planet when at full capacity.
From what I understand, then, Logan, this power is something like he absorbs sunlight and then like another pocket of energy, and then he kind of shoots it through his eyes. It's like a teleportal device.
Yes, he can metabolize sunlight, and the blasts themselves actually come from it's weird, but it's a comic book, guys. Come on. His eyes are portals to another dimension that's just filled with this horrible energy that can destroy everything.
Could you imagine teleporting there by accident?
I'm sure it's happened many times in the Marvel Universe. That's where all these characters that no one knows where they are now. That's what happens.
They get just put teleport into the alternate universe where all the sunlight
and and they instantly are vaporized by all that horrible energy that comes out of Cyclops' eyes.
If Cyclops only knew what he did with this little extra dimension.
It's not his dimension. He's just the transporter. He's
no
like Jason
control.
Statham.
Okay. I'm the transporter. I digress. I had to know, though, just for sure.
These beams, they've been stated at traveling at light speed. I'm not positive on this. I think he can slow them down because there's times when they appear much slower. This could just be the writers not knowing what's going on. Because
if anyone's got any information, you could send it to us at the email that we have website or the blog, and we would be happy to be informed. Because if you get mad at us, I mean, we don't really care, but we care. So go ahead and let us know when we're wrong.
Yes, exactly. He can ricochet these blasts off of surfaces to hit people that are behind cover or to hit multiple targets. Like, he's been known to disarm multiple gunmen with one blast and stuff like that. And his blasts are strong enough to destroy adamantium, which we've seen this in Age of Apocalypse, which is not 616, but in theory it should work in 616. 616 is the main Marvel universe. Because in the Marvel universe we have a lot of weird alternate realities, but everything seems to work the same in the Age of Apocalypse. But he's also done it in the main continuity. Him and Thor were battling Celestials one time, and him and Thor were both able to break their adamantium armor. So there's that. Cyclops also has a deep understanding of trigonometry and geometry. Like I said, he's disarmed rooms full of gunmen with one blast. I think it was 8 gunmen one time. He's bounced them off of walls to hit opponents behind cover, stuff like that. He's also a He's a skilled hand-to-hand combatant. He's beaten Wolverine numerous times. He's beaten multiple people while blindfolded. He fought off some neo-Nazis in prison once. With no weapons, they had shivs and stuff.
Not only to say does this man have some extremely awesome range capabilities with being a mathematical genius, on top of being skilled with his awesome concussive sunlight beams of joy.
Yes.
We'll call them joy. They're kind of like Care Bear stares, because the sunlight and joyness, they go together.
That's what Cyclops does. He Care Bear stares his enemies.
It's a deadly thing. Don't let it be wrong. But he's also got some pugnacity. You get up close to him and he's going to be able to be the little man fighting out.
Oh yeah. He's a scrapper. He's been trained and mastered judo and other martial arts that have to deal with throws weight and submission, because you know, he doesn't want to, if you're dealing with Wolverine, you don't want to punch a guy with metal bones in the face. That just
hurt. Hand.
That hurt.
And plus, if Hulk's trying to get you, I'd rather attach myself to his arm than actually get smashed by it. So if I can climb the beast...
Well, if you grab onto his arm, he's just going to hit that shit into a tree or something.
That's true. I guess I didn't think about that.
I just
that.
Would not want to fight the Hulk in general.
No, that's never a good day.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to get in a lot of pain when they fight the Hulk.
It's not a good deal.
Ruining their career whatsoever.
It's not a good deal.
What they had of a career, anyway.
You want to tell us some stuff about Bullseye?
Yeah, we'll jump into Bullseye here. Bullseye first debuted in Daredevil 131 in 1974. Bullseye is what I would consider some sort of chaotic neutral bastard that was born into the world.
I would say chaotic
come.
Evil.
Chaotic evil. He doesn't have some more than mastermind, but he's always doing some wretched shit.
Yes, wretched indeed.
Bullseye's bones are laced with adamantium, somewhat like Wolverine's, but he does not have a healing factor. The way we understand that this was put onto him was some sort of mystical...
He got the adamantium put on him by magical ninjas.
Ninjas. So that answers our question there. He's way cooler than Wolverine already because of that.
Yeah, Wolverine doesn't... His was put into him by Weapon X, not magical ninjas.
No, not magical ninjas at all. It looked like a pretty painful experience.
Yeah.
In the movies and in the comics
looked painful.
They looked a little different from both ways, but...
You know what would be more painful? The time that Magneto ripped it out of his body in the
90s. Every time that Magneto gets a hold of him, it doesn't look good. No. But I digress.
Yeah.
Bullseye, along with having an adamantium-laced skeleton, has superhuman reflexes, which means that you throw something at him and he's going to be able to adapt to that situation very quickly. He has got superhuman aim.
Nearly superhuman. He has missed before.
So I would say he's probably just a little bit under Agent Zero then, somewhere in there. Where...
Oh, Maverick from the X-Men?
Yes.
Or Weapon X? Yeah, I'd say.
Somewhere just a little under him.
It's not superhuman. It's not superhuman, but it's borderline.
Zero is pretty superhuman.
Yes.
And he's not quite there. Anyway, he's got extreme accuracy.
In the movies he is. In the comics, I don't really know. I've only seen him in a couple comics. Okay. Weapon X comics.
So... He's very accurate, to say nonetheless. He's not going to hit all the time by any means, but he knows what he's hitting for, and he's going to be able to hit it with almost any object. That's another thing about Bullseye that's very cool, is he can take just about any household object and turn it into a extraordinarily deadly weapon.
Yes. He can make a playing card lethal.
Straw, you name it.
Or if it's Colin Farrell, he can throw paper clips at people until they die.
Who's the guy that throws the confetti all the time, and he's really happy about it? Just think if Deadpool hung out with that dude for a day.
Who?
There's an old guy that was always on like a game show, and he'd throw confetti afterward.
Oh man, I know who you're talking about.
He's like on the Vegas Strips. He was always in like a blue shiny suit, and he's old and awesome. He's like got like that smoking voice, like he had too many cigars.
It wasn't Bob Barker.
No, I don't know his name.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Anyway, he can throw things at a high velocity and hit. Also, teams he's been on the Thunderbolts and the Dark Avengers. He was Hawkeye when he was on the Dark Avengers, which explains why he was willing to kill people.
Yes. we didn't know it was Bullseye at first, so we thought Hawkeye was actually killing people. It was an odd ordeal.
Another thing that's going to take effect on Bullseye for this fight, and this is the last big thing, is that he will be willing to sacrifice people, which I think Logan already said earlier, and that's going to change the tables a little bit for Cyclops and his huge list of powers.
Yes. And since they're in a bank with people and property...
Right, it's going to
Cyclops,
really limit down on
it's going to limit
does,
Cyclops. Cyclops isn't going to be willing to hurt class. Innocent people. And he's going to try not to destroy shit.
Okay, so how do you think these two are going to run into each other right away when Cyclops is in the bank now? She has left Magic Has, being the teleporter that brought him there.
Yes.
And now Bullseye is in the vault, presumably gathering the things he was collecting.
Yeah, he's getting the stuff he's supposed to get. I'm sure he's going to grab a few bucks on the way out.
You know, just to get his own pocket. Oh, yeah. A little buff. Okay, so he's probably in a good mood right about now, thinking, I killed a few guards, not a bad day. The rest of them got knocked unconscious, so well.
Or tied up.
Or tied up.
The bank is closed off entirely. He's activated the security protocols. This is not a normal bank.
Right, he doesn't need
this
to worry.
This is a superhero bank. Where superheroes put stuff.
Okay, so he's leaving now. He's happy, and Scott's probably not in a very good mood.
No, he's probably pissed off.
Bullseye's doing some devious stuff.
Bullseye's doing bad shit. I just had the Phoenix Force inside me. Oh, by the way, we're doing Scott before Avengers vs. X-Men, his power set, because we don't know everything there is to know about his powers now. If you don't know, after Avengers vs. X-Men, after his encounter with the Phoenix Force, his powers changed pretty drastically. So
from what I understand, they all numerously have changed their powers, at least
Phoenix
a little
hosts,
bit.
And Magneto.
And
Magneto
that's five of them, then.
Six of them.
Six total, including Magneto, and five that were total on the Phoenix Force.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're doing pre-AVX Scott.
And this is good for me too, people, because I'm not as good with the Marvel universe as I am with some other things.
Yes. So, I think when magic teleports, it makes a sound.
So
or it has been shown to make a sound in the comics.
You
so.
Think that like a poof or something would give it away to Bullseye just because he's pretty acute with his senses.
Bullseye's got good senses, yes. So he's gonna know something's up. Scott's not gonna know where he is right away.
Right. Scott's going to be walking through here, kind of like we said.
He's going to be cautiously walking around.
Cautiously ticked off, kind of, where the hell is this douche dude?
He's going to be looking at the people, trying to determine if one of them is
posing
Bullseye in disguise. You know, that's another thing that Bullseye, well, he doesn't know they're coming, so he wouldn't do that.
But it's something that
could do. Yeah, a villain could do that. I think Bullseye is going to, as soon as he hears that, he's going to make his way out of the vault.
And try to get to his exit?
Yes, but he's gonna have a hostage with him. He's gonna try to kill whoever's fucking with his plan.
Okay, he doesn't like that Scott Summers has stumbled into his little evil den of funness.
Yes. So, when this battle starts, how do you think it's gonna happen?
I don't know, but like you said, I think that he's gonna have a hostage with him. You're right, I think that's a good idea. That he'd have to have something like that. He needs a little leverage. He doesn't know who's there. Good guys usually come pretty powerfully, or in number. You know? That seems to be a common book occurrence. So, he's probably not one to take any chances. You know, I think when he does see that it's just one person, and I don't think that Scott Summers and him have met any time that I have known
specifically,
they'd have enough of like a vendetta against each other and know their powers well enough.
But I think Bullseye would know Scott's powers because Scott is pretty well known in the Marvel universe, especially after Avengers.
So if he knows his powers, which this is what we're going on here, I think that Bullseye would definitely try to take the initiative with the hostage right away.
Yeah.
So then I think it would go on to Scott to take it to do something in his something to counteract that hostage that he can do. Which, I mean, Ricochet's shot might be able to help him out there.
He's going to try to bounce an optic beam. An optic blast!
Optic blast!
He's going to bounce an optic blast off the wall behind Bullseye. That's what I think he would do.
Bounce one behind and try to
hit Bullseye in the back of the head. That's what I think he would do. But Bullseye knows his powers.
Yeah, and he probably wouldn't go very powerful with pedestrians around.
No, he doesn't
want
to hurt the civilians.
He doesn't want to hurt, and he's got an adamantium-laced skull.
Yes, but a concussion occurs. It's not from impact to the
bone.
That's
true.
A concussion occurs when your brain rattles around inside your skull.
So he could have a concussion. This could be a KO early on.
It could be.
But
Bullseye knows Scott's powers. He's not going to stand around and he's like, oh, this mofo's going to ricochet a shot against me.
Well, Bullseye's in a bank, so he's got a lot of pens and shit laying around.
Oh, yeah.
And if he's going for any...
And I'm sure he'd come in with knives on him, at least.
Well, we wrote him with, what, six knives on him or something like
six
that?
Six throwing knives six on him, yeah. Six we didn't give him knives. A gun, because that would be...
He's got a little bit to go on here. I'd say that he's probably got one of those knives under his feet or something, just waiting for something like an optic blast, the fingers to go to the visor or something. Something like that. Ready to kick something at anything. Because I've seen Bullseye do some strange things with objects to get
What are some of his feats, Colton? What has Bullseye done besides throw paperclips at men's throats?
Oh, he's awesome. Bullseye took a hubcap once and, like, flipped a car with it. He totally wrecked a car with just a hubcap. It was pretty nice. He took Deadpool and he slit his throat with just a straw.
He'd probably be really good at frisbee golf.
He probably would be really good at frisbee golf. He'd be one of those people that gets the basket every time. First try.
He could be Josh.
If you ever watch the Bullseye movie, he gets a little
The
angry.
Daredevil movie.
The Daredevil movie, yeah. Excuse
That's
me.
That's not canon, but, you know, it's he has the canon. Same powers.
He's got the same powers, basically. He gets a little pissed off at an Irish family and throws a dart in someone's neck just to prove that he's the superior dartsman, obviously.
Yeah, not even a dart. He doesn't sully his hands with killing a man with a dart. He takes a paperclip, straightens it out very dramatically, and throws it at the guy. And it hits him in the neck, and he dies.
It has been some years since I've seen Daredevil, excuse me, again. But I think he'd probably have something to at least distract or hit the finger away. He'd have something ready to go right off the bat for an optic blast. He'd probably be predicting that, knowing Scott.
Yeah. So he's going to throw something at Scott, and presumably he's going to run away and try to get the drop on him again, because he doesn't want to fight this man.
No, he doesn't want to fight him in up to up. I think Scott's best option here probably would try to get to hand-to-hand and use some of those skills that he's got there.
That would be good.
Because ranged, in this certain scenario, he's going to be at a little bit of a disadvantage, where Bullseye doesn't care, and he's got accuracy.
It's true. He has been known to miss moving targets, though, and Scott, all he has to do is look at you.
Right.
But, like we said,
we
Scott's
all know
optic
from blowguns that looking at people is an easy way to target. Thanks. Maybe you people don't, but we do up here. Blowguns are fun.
Oh, yeah, blowguns. Scott's optic blast, they do travel at light speed, but Scott's still got to trigger that with his finger. This is when he has the visor.
Right.
He has a ruby quartz visor to contain the optic blast. When Scott was a kid, he got a concussion, and when his powers manifested, he was never able to control them. So the optic, his eyes are emanating this power constantly, so he has to put on that ruby quartz visor to keep them contained. And to activate that, he pushes a button on his helmet, and he's got one in his palm as well. The palm of his glove. So, like I said, the optic blast travel at light speed. Scott does not think at light speed.
No. But neither does Bullseye.
Neither does Bullseye. But Bullseye, I think Bullseye has superior reflexes than him, though, probably.
I would have to agree from seeing how they depict him on being, like I said earlier when we were discussing the idea of this, I kind of said that Bullseye came from a more ninja-y side of the Marvel universe. It just seems like it's not anything they've ever tagged, anything official. It looks that way.
Yeah.
How the characters are depicted, they're kind of... authenticity, the style of the culture, all that stuff.
I think that, you know, Scott's not going to be able to sit back and wait this one out, because Bullseye will kill hostages.
Right, like I said, he's going to have to move and try to get
Scott
in
Scott is on the offensive, so I think he has a slight disadvantage here.
He's going to have to press in on Bullseye before he tries to make way with that hostage.
Yeah.
And Bullseye's going to, in my opinion, Bullseye would easily think of dispatching the hostage on his way to a next set of hostage or a next safe point for him to ambush.
Yeah, so Scott's got to be
completely.
Scott's
got to
be
idea.
Just on him,
right?
Or
so,
else people are going to die.
I'd be saying this is going to leave the bank fairly quickly, because Bullseye ain't going to wait along. He knows what Scott's capable of. He doesn't want to test Scott's patience enough, as Scott will probably get a little bit more power testing Deadpool to see what he can
Bullseye
or Bullseye to see what he can do to counteract something like
yeah.
that. without hurting somebody.
So I'd say Scott is at a disadvantage on that note.
Definitely so.
Scott can't wait. Bullseye has all the time in the world.
And Bullseye's going to want to take it outside, so it's eventually probably going to end up going outside.
Yeah.
And in a populated area, if I know Bullseye, that's where it seems like he likes to take things.
Yeah.
It puts the good guy always at a much more disadvantageous stage than what he feels he's at.
So Cyclops, he has the superior powers, but he's at an extreme disadvantage. I think if it just stayed in the bank, Bullseye could take it maybe 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I think Bullseye could take it maybe 6 out of 10 if it stayed just in the bank.
Just because the environment is such a disadvantage. The circumstances and the environment. But, like I said, if you got outside, it's a different ballgame.
It goes completely different. And then it kind of depends on where they go outside, too. If
yeah.
they go out in a more rural area, which is let's just say it is a more rural area. I think Cyclops is going to win.
He's going to open that
times.
Bitch. He's going to open that bitch wide and just let it rip.
I mean, there's only going to be certain things that Bullseye is going to be able to do circumstantively to try to prevent something like that happening when there is no civilians and there is no property to destruct for Cyclops.
Yeah,
trees don't mean anything. They grow back. That's a renewable resource.
Cyclops
and it doesn't cost
give
anybody
a fuck
anything.
About trees.
He don't care about
that.
That
man hates nature.
You take it into a more populated zone, where maybe he tries to bring it into a church like he did into the movie with Daredevil, that may turn the tables again against Scott. Again, I think that maybe
anytime
Scott
there's innocent
bring,
life, Scott is at a disadvantage.
It's a big disadvantage. Against with all his powers, I still think that maybe it brings it to a 50-50 level even in a populated zone. Just because of how we discussed earlier with that geometry, knowing how his optic blasts and how the power react and how fast they travel.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do a lot of stuff with that.
It's true.
And Bullseye doesn't get that amount of control over his... I mean, he knows how
it's
things
true.
Are going to do in trajectory and how it is, but
it's
a skill.
It's not as controlled as Scott's.
And where it's more thought processed and less reaction.
Yes.
That's the big difference. And I think that overall, I think that thought process, as we see with Bounty Hunters in Star Wars, Troopers in Star Wars, I'm just going off of Star Wars here, just about anything that has more thought process is usually one that comes out over skill over time.
Yes.
So I think given this battle going on enough time... Where and it could really go on a long
it
time.
It could, yeah.
I'd probably say that Cyclops would be the one that ends up victorious more often. I don't think it would be a huge ratio at all.
No.
I mean, like, maybe a 6.5 out of 10, something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe a 7 out of 10, he would come out overall off this
in
beginning
an
scenario.
In an unpopulated area, Cyclops would almost certainly win every time.
There would be few things in that, like... But let's say 8, 9 out of 10, if that's what we're going to go with.
Yeah,
those few times that Bullseye win, it's going to be a very situational thing to the event, like if we ran a simulation on it.
Like if Scott had a massive aneurysm and just died,
right.
That would be when Bullseye wins.
He just tried to use his optic blast, and he put his hand up and he pinched a nerve in his neck as soon as he did it and got Bell's palsy. just straight face. But that's what I'm thinking on
this.
I
think you're right. And another thing... The farther they get away, the more advantage Cyclops has.
Absolutely.
Because the optic blasts, they don't suffer from
the
gravity.
Right.
Yeah.
As soon as...
Anything Bullseye throws, he's got to arc it.
You know, you're talking Bullseye may be able to get something up to past a normal human strength, getting at 150 mile an hour, 200 mile an hour. That's
still
pretty
susceptible to gravity.
Still very susceptible to gravity. That's not near what a bullet travels.
Nope.
And a bullet is still very susceptible to gravity. There's
it's
very
true.
Few shells that aren't susceptible to gravity, and they're illegal.
It's true.
So I think that's how we can pretty much summarize this up, saying that, I mean, overall, we're going to get at least a 6.5, 7 out of 10 is going
to
be Cyclops victorious in our opinions.
I'd have to agree with you, just given his power set.
Just given the power set and
how
the scenario
is
relayed out and what Bullseye is going to have to do to react to someone like Scott intruding on his business.
Yes.
You know, and this is probably one of the reasons we don't see it very often in the comic book set, but if they ever did do something like this, it would be interesting because there'd probably be more people involved.
Yes.
And then that's when things really get fun.
It's true.
Because then you got Bullseye and maybe his whole evil crew against the X-Force or something, and then you just got like a totally ninja badass group against like the mutant badass group of the good side. That's a pretty awesome mashup.
That would be awesome.
Be very entertaining. So that would be our sum up, or my sum up. Logan, do you got anything left to say about that mashup?
I think in the bank, Bullseye has a slight advantage.
Definitely in the bank, Bullseye has a slight
but
advantage.
But we have to assume they're going to get outside eventually.
And
when they do, I think Scott has an advantage. Because the more distance they get,
The easier it's going to be. Regardless of
the
populated
zone, if there's not people on the street, Cyclops is going to be a lot more powerful. It's going to be a one-hit KO or even a kill.
Right.
If there's lives at stake, Cyclops has killed before. He's probably not going to go to it right away, but if he feels that someone's going to die, if he doesn't, he will. So Scott, 6 out of 10. Cyclops, 6 out of 10.
All right, the next battle mash that we got up for you guys comes from my side of the universe, just for the first episode here. We're going to do a little Star Wars in my favorite era of Star Wars, the Clone Wars. We have General Shaak Ti and Cad Bane. So they're going to meet on a Victory-class Republic cruiser. They're going to meet in an empty hangar bay. Shaak Ti is actually sitting, waiting for Cad Bane to exit with a Jedi Holocron that he was sent to get by Chancellor Palpatine, or the Emperor in disguise, basically. He's going to be entering, just getting ready to leave with the Holocron. Cad Bane's main attributes are is he's got rocket boots, so this little bastard can fly, much like a Mandalorian.
He's like Boba Fett.
Yeah, yeah. His he doesn't have a rocket pack. He's got actual rocket boots, so it makes it that much more awesome.
Like Rocket Raccoon.
Exactly.
Rocket skates!
Rocket skates! It's pretty much exactly like that. They're really cool. He's got all the ship's controls on his wrist control, which is also a flamethrower. Which means he's got control over gravity, oxygen, ray shields, pretty much everything that the ship can do, which is everything. Is for those of you that aren't known to Star Wars, they've actually gotten to the point for ships this size, taking people and putting implants in their brain to control the ship, that there's so many functions. So he's got a lot of capabilities to throw a Jedi off, that's for sure. He's also got custom pistols that are basically fully automated laser pistols and can fire off about 3 times faster than any normal laser blaster in the Star Wars universe at that point.
He has been known to dual-wield them, has he not?
Oh, yes, he definitely dual-wields them all the time. The only time okay. He doesn't dual-wield them is when he's got his flamethrower going. He likes his little flamethrower.
I'd love to have a flamethrower. I'd use it all the time, too. I can see why he likes it.
It's a neat little thing. It's his wrist control, too, so he hits a button and it's a flamethrower, and he's hitting a button and then the gravity's gone and all the droids are floating going, "What the hell happened, man?"
So that would be difficult to deal with.
Yeah. The good thing that generals yes. are chained for that stuff.
Yes, Shaak-Ti. She was on the Jedi Council. She is a very powerful Jedi. She was also a general, correct?
Yep, every Jedi that was on the Council was made a general for sure during the Clone Wars. And a yes. lot of the Jedi Knights, just themselves being a Jedi Knight, were considered generals.
She's very attuned with the Force, especially Force field, like fields of the Force that have to do with nature.
Yep, so like any Force neutralization, like if a Sith tried to shock her with an electrical bolt, she'd be able to use Force nature to help
yes.
mitigate that damage.
She's she specializes very much in healing as well. That's not going to come into play in the battle, because that takes time.
That yes, most Jedi healing takes quite a bit of time. It has to do with like connecting with the spirit and,
yes.
and connecting with the Force entity and finding the issue and fixing it.
In fact, she's so attuned with the nature side of the Force that she completely stopped Felucia from being overtaken by corruption.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. She actually starts yes. to imbue her Force power into Felucia after Order 66 is executed. She's one of the few Jedi that did manage to get away.
Her
apprentice, yes. Her apprentice later falls to the dark side as soon as she fades, as soon as Shaak-Ti's Force fades from the planet during her death. The corruption begins anew. It just shows how powerful she is to stop an entire Force planet's corruption cycle by herself, just her presence there.
If you guys played The Force Unleashed, there's a whole level for that. And as I found out today, the video games are canon.
They are all canon. That was all brought into
the
universe.
And the video games and the cartoons are canon, as well as the
comics.
It's all
canon. And it was a very interesting thing for them to be canon. It was very speculated because of how the Force power is thrown around during the campaign.
See, this kind of threw me off when I was researching this, because in the Marvel Universe, in the DC universe, which I'm mostly familiar with, it's just the comics that are canon.
Right.
Cartoons, movies, those are...
Since this was based off of books,
yes.
they've had to do a whole different schmeal with it. So there's a lot of canon stuff. It's just a little weird. You gotta get used to it. It's a big bowl of soup.
Yes. Shaak-Ti is also... She's no slouch with the lightsabers.
No, Shaak-Ti is pretty badass. Tell me about Shaak-Ti and her lightsabers, because I don't know, Logan. I don't know.
She's got two styles that she's completely mastered. There's Makashi... Which is, it's...
I'm a little rusty on my lightsaber form. I know Star Wars, Logan, but I don't know my lightsaber form. Explain to me, what's this Makashi stuff?
Well, the original form that all the Jedis are taught, the name escapes me. But it has to do more with sweeping motions. Like, sort of like a katana, I would say.
Okay.
Like how they sweep and slash. She didn't like that, so she went to Makashi, which is more of like... a precision and targeted lightsaber form. Think Raphael from Soul Calibur.
Okay, so trying to like poke with the fencing and trying to get in there on that defense.
And then she has a Taran, I believe that's how it's pronounced, which it has to do more with acrobatic maneuvers. If you saw Yoda in the movies jumping around like a beast,
yep.
he used that. Also, Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan Kenobi, they were also practitioners of
this. This is considered the secondary state of the base Jedi lightsaber form. So every lightsaber, Jedi as a Padawan or as a learner learns the same lightsaber form. And this is the secondary state of it, the Atara. This is a basic acrobatic defense is what they would consider it.
Also very offensive.
Yeah, very
it's
much
known
so.
For offense. It's, but one thing, it's not very good against people with blasters.
No.
So it probably won't come into effect in this one. She also has done a lot of training, and she hasn't mastered it, but she's also a practitioner of Jar-Kai, which is dual-wielding lightsabers, one in each hand.
Absolutely. It's one of the rare Jedi lightsabers forms.
Yes, sir.
Because there's only one class that would ever use them.
Yes. So, these two are in the hangar. Oh, another thing I forgot to mention about Shaak-Ti. She's more into diplomacy and trying to talk stuff out before she gets into
very
the fight.
Very much so. There is. She's definitely what I would consider more of a sage or a counselor side of
yes.
the Jedi department, where she's very diplomatic and willing to talk before she acts.
So she's going to talk it out with this little blue fella before she does anything, whereas Cad Bane is... He's a rogue. What's he going to do when she tries to talk
what
to
is,
him?
He's not going to be happy about it. As soon as he's going to see that something's stopping him from doing his job, it's all about the money to Cad Bane. It's all about the dance. He wants to get in there, get the job done, get more money, and move on to the next job. Clean, quick, and as best as possible. That's Cad Bane. He sees this, he's going to be like, oh, crap. Now he's got a chip in his shoulder. He's not happy about this exactly. So he's going to come up with some sort of smart aleck remark, most likely, to get the general's attention. She's probably not going to look at him, just keep meditating and say something back, because they're both very witty people.
Yes.
It's going to be something like Obi-Wan talking to one of the most clever bounty hunters you know. That's Cad Bane's strong
yes.
suit, really. Immediately, I think Cad Bane's going to draw his pistol as soon as he's done with his witty comp.
Yeah,
it's
going to
get blasting. It's going to be quick shots. He's going to be moving as he's taking his
shots.
She's
going to expect this, though, because she's one of the most clever
Jedi. Oh, you better
Jedi.
Believe it. When a Jedi is sitting there and they're meditating, they're most attuned with the Force. You better believe it, Logan. She's going to be getting up like a fucking cat, a cougar. She's going to take up doing backflips in front of the spaceship that he's trying to run to.
But
that's when the rocket boots are going to kick in, my friend. The rocket boots will kick in and... What do you think he's going to do with his little control wrist? If I had the controls
he's
of the
gonna
ship...
He's going to make the gravity field go all haywire.
He's
going
to fuck the gravity. That is what I think. That is a very good assumption. I think Shaak-Ti's going to have to adjust and use her force powers
yes.
to make herself stabilized in gravity. I think the next thing that would go with Cad Bane, since he's always wearing an oxygen mask, is probably the life support systems in the hangar
yes,
bay.
Yes, that's probably...
Because he can shut them off right then and there.
So, it's going to be a matter of time for Shaak-Ti.
Matter of time. I would give her, with her force potency, about a half an hour in a hostile environment like that before she is out
and
of time.
She's running around. She's
breathing
heavy.
She
so
is right now she is working herself. So we're gonna cut that half. She's got 15 minutes top to deal with this man, and her objective right now is to make sure a Jedi holocron doesn't get away.
That could give away crucial information to the enemy.
All he needs to do is find a Jedi to get it, and that ain't that hard a trick. He's proved that he can do it before, and he will do it again. If he's tricked Anakin Skywalker into opening a holocron, he can do it again.
Yes.
Very easily. Although Anakin is an easier person to trick, I will say that, just because of his character.
Shaak-Ti is very clever. She's going to expect the tricks. She's not going to be the one that opens it, though.
She's just
an obstacle.
I don't see her getting baited into it. She is just purely an obstacle, just like you said.
Yes.
I don't think she's one of the Jedi that could ever get baited into something like that, where Anakin is very... He moved forward very fast-paced. He was very Sith-like, even when he was a Jedi, so it was very easy to lure him into a situation... like that, a sacrifice situation.
Yes.
Either your Padawan or your holocron. You choose. Easy for someone who's not willing to part with anything. I don't want to lose my Padawan. You can have the data.
So, if the gravity fields are gone, the air's gone, she's concentrating on her force powers for a lot of stuff.
She's thinking about two different things for sure. She is thinking about her movement with being in no gravity, because she's using the force now to kind of
yes.
push herself through space. And she's literally trying to hold herself around. It would be kind of like a hover jet is what
yes.
you're thinking about. And she's using the force power to help her with that. Now she's also containing her breath with force power, like feeding oxygen through her skin from different places.
Yes.
It's kind of incredible to think about, but Jedi do have the power. They even have there's been recordings of Jedis and some information that I've read that they've like filtered toxins out of the air while they were breathing. Very rare, very hard. A lot of Jedis fall to gases, it seems like. But, she's going to be concentrating on that. That's going to take down her force power quite a bit. She's not going to be able to do any open force attacks now. That is pure blue nothing.
She's also restricted because the Ataru lightsaber discipline, that, like I said, it does not work good against blasters.
No.
And Cad Bane,
he enjoys blasters.
He
may not hit all the time, but he will send a lot of bolts flying at you, and when they do hit...
So she's not going to be jumping around. That's just... Well, she can't jump around anymore.
She can't jump around anymore.
That's
part
completely
of his
out of the
strategy.
Window.
She's having to use her lightsaber to defend as much as possible. Again, that's another... So now we have three separate things that she's concentrating on the force power. It's also part of their force power is using the force to see a blaster shot as it's
yes.
coming towards them. granted, her getting hit in the limb or a grazing shot by a blaster isn't going to totally cripple her. She can take a solid shot through it, and it'll cauterize the muscle and slow her down, but she will continue to go.
She's going to want to stop
him. Yes. This is her overall goal, where this is to get away.
She's going to want to get to him as soon as possible.
Right.
And he's going to be running away.
So I think that if she did have anything, I don't know what she would do.
Yeah.
She would have to have a droid on backup or anything. Otherwise, I think she would be pretty screwed in this, and she would have to back off eventually. I think at this point, Cad Bane has such a control over the situation that her being a Jedi, it doesn't help as much anymore.
Yeah. No, not when the gravity's gone.
The gravity's gone, the oxygen's gone.
Not when he can neutralize one of her lightsaber disciplines that she has mastered.
I mean, I think Cad Bane's pretty much got a clean getaway here. And unless she can do something... Now, here's something. She could probably do something to the ship.
She probably could.
Before anything else happened.
She is very powerful with the Force.
She is very powerful with the Force. And it doesn't take much. I've seen Jedi do it before. They disconnect one little thing, and then the ship don't take off. That's all it takes.
But Cad Bane has such advantages that...
Stopping him before he gets to his ship or anything is not going to be easy.
No.
The only thing that she could possibly do is try to force pull him to her. And at that point, I don't think...
He could just activate the flamethrower.
Yeah, I don't think it would be a logical choice for her. I think that she would have to let him go. And at that point, then it becomes a chase in the galaxy.
Yes.
And so... With that, I'm not going to go into... Who knows what would happen from there?
Well, I'm sure they'd get other Jedi on the case.
And yeah, it would definitely
possibly even hire some other external help.
Well, you're talking as soon as the younglings are involved, and that's a lot of holocrons, very sensitive information. The Jedi Council is immediately in action. Pretty much, they like sit around and they all meditate on it. And when they all get the information that they needed to through the Force by meditation, every one of the Council members take action on one of those pieces that they meditated on.
Okay.
So everyone gets into works then, and then every Jedi Knight is put onto a division, a subdivision off of the division that every Jedi Council member put on. So it turns out to this huge branching thing.
So as soon as he's out, it's going to be more difficult, but I think he wins this one pretty convincingly.
Probably I think
7 or 8 out of 10 times
Cad Bane as bounty hunter will get away, get his contract fulfilled, and not suffer a scratch from a Jedi in this situation. I think that he just ballered it out with his awesome cowboy hat.
So my verdict, 7 or 8 out of 10. What do you think?
I'm going with a 7 or 8 out of 10. I'm saying that having the bounty hunter wrist controls like that is being able to override anything that Shaak Ti can throw at him in that particular...
He's got the situation completely under his control.
Now, killing Shaak Ti, I definitely don't think that's an option unless he ray shields. I mean, he could ray shield the doors and unlock her off and potentially kill her, but at the same time, I think he wouldn't want to do that being Cad Bane.
Yes.
It's just not his style.
But if it did come down to that, I think he would win.
Yes, definitely.
In this situation, he would win.
He has everything shut down. And Shaak Ti, even her character seems like the type of character that would do exactly what I said. Think that she had the situation completely under control, and all it took was Cad Bane throwing out that one surprise that, hey, I overwrote your systems. I have complete control of this hangar bay on my wrist.
Yes, that's throwing a wrench in the old plan.
Yeah, I think that was more than enough to throw one general from the Clone Wars out of the picture. So I'm going to go with a solid 7 out of 10, something like that for Cad Bane when an over General Shaak Ti getting out of the scenario alive and making payday.
7 out of 10 through incapacitation/escape.
Incapacitation/escape. Sounds like a plan to me.
All right.
Because that's what Cad Bane would do.
Yes.
He would definitely either leave the Jedi to his own devices or just try to escape.
All right. Alright guys, now we're going to move on to the final battle of the night, and we're not going to talk about this one too much. We're gonna leave this to you guys to figure out what you think would go. We're going to say a few things, though. We decided we're going to do Billy Batson. And Billy Batson, for you guys that don't know, that's Shazam, the DC character.
Shazam!
Yes, Shazam.
It sounds almost like that, because I have a high-pitched voice for being as old as
he's
I am.
He's doing the impression of young Billy Batson when he's a child from Injustice.
And he goes, Shazam! And it sounds almost exactly like that.
And he turns into... the Beast.
The big, bulky man that grapples you to death.
And what Shazam stands for, it's the S stands for the Wisdom of Solomon, the H is the Strength of Hercules, the first A is the Stamina of Atlas, the Z is the Power of Zeus, the other A is the Courage of Achilles, and the M is for the Speed of Mercury. he got all these powers of these Greek gods and other Greek figures.
He's kind of like accumulation of Greek gods, which in the DC comics I've found that they throw the Greek gods around quite a bit.
Yes.
They even have Ares in there from time to time, if I'm not mistaken.
And he got these from a wizard.
Oh,
a wizard gave him these powers because of how kind his heart was.
So that kindness and that good heart led him...
I don't know how that happens in the New 52, though, because Billy is a crazy little dude. He's a crazy little dude in the comics. All right, but we're having Billy Batson with no Shazam powers.
No Shazam powers
at
all.
So it's like a 12-year-old child...
That just screams Shazam for fun.
That screams Shazam for fun. His powers were taken away from him because he was using them for no good.
He was using them to beat up the bullies at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes.
He was being a bully at Chuck E. Cheese with his powers.
And the wizard took the powers away.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where we are with that.
He got too high on the power.
He knew that Billy Batson was a badass. So
yeah, he's like, I don't have to be nice anymore. I'm a god.
This is my ball pin, bitch. I will Shazam you to death.
Who he's going to be going against is Captain America's drunken father.
God.
For those of you who don't know, Captain America's father was a hardcore alcoholic. So,
beat the shit out of Steven there.
I don't know that he was abusive, but he would give Steve a good old tongue lashing every now and then. He'd talk down on that boy.
The verbal abuse was more than enough.
Oh, yes. It made Steve horribly... And as you know, Captain America was just a little fellow.
It was probably why he was so little. It scarred him to the point where he didn't eat.
It stunted his growth.
He just couldn't do it. His body was like, I'm just so terrible. My dad hates me. It just gave up.
Captain America's dad...
His heart didn't, though.
He is blackout drunk. He has been drinking malt liquor from a brown paper bag all day. He wanders into this Chuck E. Cheese.
It's a Mad Dog 2020.
Mad Dog 2020. He wanders into this Chuck E. Cheese. He sees Billy. He thinks he's Steve, and he just starts talking shit to him.
Oh, man. If I was Billy, I don't know what the fuck I'd be thinking. This crazy old drunk man just blabbing at me about Steve.
Steve Rogers' dad, he's a grown man. He may be blackout drunk, but he is a grown man, much stronger than a child. But Billy was raised in the hood.
He was.
Well, he wasn't raised. He grew up in the hood. He is an orphan from the hood. He is a hardcore little dude.
He probably had like a flipping gun pointed at his brain when he was
three. I'm sure. And he's calm about it, too. So Billy is bloodlusted at this moment. He is angry that this old drunken man is shouting at him.
This is
and
the
his power
hungry Billy is coming out of him. See, this is why the wizard took it away. This is Billy just... Not good.
He doesn't have the powers anymore, but he's angry.
He's angry, and he knew what he could do when he had the powers, so he feels his rage.
Yes, he feels like he's just going to rip this man limb from limb.
So he's got that attitude going for him, which is a big thing. We all know that. When you get the attitude, it helps.
Let's let the viewers decide how this one ends. And
I agree.
Next podcast, we'll read it. We'll read what some of these people have to say. I'm excited to see.
I'm excited to see what happens, too, because Billy Batson is now seeing red where we left him off in our scenario, and Captain America's father, who just thinks that he's his son, is yelling profusely at
him.
He's
swearing at him.
Drunk
off his ass, embarrassing him in front of all the other children, and Billy is not
and
having
Chuck E. Cheese is the place to be for a kid Billy's age. I mean, being embarrassed
Billy's never got to go to Chuck E. Cheese. He was
orphan. Poor. He's in the hood.
Yeah.
This is an intrusion of his... Enjoyment.
This is what he deserves. He feels he deserves this, and Captain America's dad is trying to take that away in his drunken rage.
He does not care. He is willing to hurt this man. He did it when he had his Shazam powers.
It's true.
Now, it is up to you. This is Colton Peterson, Logan Meyer, and the silent, beautiful woman that no one got to hear, Aaron.
Will you say something just so they believe that you're here? Because I don't want to feel like a...
We don't want to leave you out, that there actually is a woman that just was too shy to say anything the first time.
You can't just wave. You gotta say it.
You have to say more than that.
Like what?
There.
Say, hi, guys.
Bye, guys.
All right, there you have it.
There was bye, guys.
There was bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Talking about bye, guys.
All right, guys. Oh, wait. Yeah, that's it. That's all we got. All right. Later, guys.